Sorry. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the City Council Chambers. Today is Wednesday, December 19th, 2012. We're in 2 p.m. session. Hi, Carla.
Hello.
Did you have a good lunch?
I did.
What'd you have?
I had a chicken sandwich.
Ooh, that sounds delicious. Can you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Bish? Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
Here. Quorum is present. We shall proceed. Can you please read the titles to items 1505 and 1506?
1505, approve agreements among the city and one or more of the Portland Development Commission, Rip City Management, LLC, doing business as Portland Arena Management, and Portland Winterhawks, Inc., for the renovation and operation of the Veterans Memorial Coliseum for use by the Portland Winterhawks hockey team and for other events, uses, and activities. 1506, approve an option agreement among the Office of Management and Finance, the Portland Development Commission, and Rip City Management, LLC, doing business as Portland Arena Management, to transfer certain land and property development rights to the Rose Quarter District and authorize the establishment of a Rose Quarter event parking district as specified.
During the same time that the City Council we had filed our agreement and announced our agreement between the Winterhawks, Portland Arena Management, the City of Portland, and the Portland Development Commission. Sanctions were levied by the Western Hockey League against the Winterhawks. They had hoped to be able to get in front of the Hockey League's board to discuss amendments to those sanctions a couple of weeks ago. But the league has indicated that the soonest that they would hear the appeal on the sanctions would be in February. So unless there are objections from council, I'm going to be moving these two items to 2 p.m. on March 13th, 2013. That will give time to have the Winterhawks make their case to the Western Hockey League and give time to city staff and the new city council to look at potential amendments that might be necessary due to whatever comes out of the sanction appeal process. So without objection, so continued. We also have, while I'm on the path of continuance, can you please, which item is the supplemental budget? Do you know, Andrew, which one is the supplemental budget? So can you please read the title for 1513?
Adopt budget adjustments and establish appropriation authority for the Arts, Education, and Access Fund, Private for Hire Transportation Program Reform, and Department of Justice Agreement Implementation.
So these matters are in relation to policy programmatic decisions or changes in the context of a financial picture that have occurred since the last bump. So this gives an opportunity to air them out. The mayor-elect has asked us to continue this to after the first of the year so that he and his new staff can take a look at that in the context of his emerging proposed budget. So unless there are objections, Carla, can you give me a time certain in middle of January?
January 16th at 10 a.m.
Unless there are objections from City Council, it is so continued to the time and date indicated by the council clerk. And then can we please, due to what we expect to be, last housekeeping item, what we expect to be a lengthy hearing on the referendum date for fluoridation, we are going to refer 1522 back to the mayor's office, or do you want to continue it?
I'd like to continue it, but it doesn't need to be a time certain.
Okay. Can we continue this to the second Thursday in January regular agenda? And what date would that be?
The second Thursday in January is the 10th.
That's all right. That's
Do you want time certain? Or
yes.
Time certain, 2 p.m.
Right. Unless there are objections from City Council.
Thank you.
So is that 1522?
1522, can you read the title?
That's on tomorrow's agenda.
Oh, can I? We have to wait till tomorrow?
We should read the title tomorrow when
okay.
it comes up.
Right. Well, if we could just send out an update to our list that it will be, we will be making that motion and it will likely pass so that we don't have people showing up and irritated with us. But that will give it the proper time, give a certainty for folks to show up. All right, those are with housekeeping items. So just last comment on the VMC, this is an important item for the future City Council to decide upon and thus the time certain. It is the unanswered question that stands in the way of a better Rose Quarter. So I appreciate the city, three members of the City Council that are here. I know they're committed to getting a decision on this issue. All right, can you please read item 1507? Mm-hmm. 1507.
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County to provide one full-time deputy district attorney to prosecute drug possession cases in an amount not to exceed $129,445.
We have a special guest from the district attorney's office. You might not... City Council might not know our special guest or Portland in general, but he's just done a have a seat, please. He's just done a fantastic job working on this issue, and so I just want to thank you and give you an opportunity to report to the City Council how we're doing.
Absolutely, thank you, Billy Prince, B-I-L-L-Y-P-R-I-N-C-E, with the Multnomah County District Attorney's Office. The DIA program was the City Council's response to what had become increased concern over open-air drug dealing in and around the downtown area. The passage of the program provided my office with the resources needed to more actively pursue those cases, and the approach was holistic in the sense that not only was there an emphasis on the enforcement side, but also on the treatment side. We were able to work with the existing service coordination team, and I'm happy to report that a significant number of people through the DIA program were referred for extensive treatment services, and 30% of this year's graduates were referred directly from the DIA, and if you guys are familiar with the service coordination team, the turnaround in those people's lives is incredible. So I think it's an excellent example of a partnership between the DA's office, the city, Portland Police Bureau, to address a very specific problem with some excellent results. So you folks have the 15-month report. Happy to answer any questions if there are any questions out there.
In terms of the
this is like you name a fire station after the guy and he has to have a special way.
Sorry, Mr. District Attorney.
No, it's diffuse.
He's going to have us anyway. So in terms of tell us in your view, and we really have left it up to the district attorney's office as an outside independently elected office, is it a so you mentioned that it's effective, and there are numbers here in the report to talk about that. In terms of equity, which is always a difficult issue, is it based on the population that we're dealing with, do you believe that the program, with the best of intentions, but in reality, do you believe that the program is equitable?
Absolutely. You know, part of the process has been putting together three-month reports and you know, outlining statistics such as the racial breakdown of the cases that we issue, people that are excluded, and making sure that we're keeping an eye on that stuff. The numbers that we have taken a look at, I think, are very consistent, both outside of the drug impact area as well as inside. So in terms of the equity and the whether or not there is a disproportionate impact, I think it's been positive that way. In terms of continuing those numbers, we haven't seen a real significant change either way. It's been pretty consistent. The reports that you have show us a slightly higher disproportionate amount for people that have been arrested, but we think that has more to do with a concentration in a smaller geographic area than anything else. And I'd be happy to go into that further. It'd probably take more than the time I have available, but can address that at any time you need.
Okay. Discussion from council with our special guest. Does anyone wish to
test? I just had one question. Does the $129,445, is that the salary and benefits for a deputy DA?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's the what in our office is a level two, and it's salary and benefits. Okay. So,
thanks.
And if it's not, if it's only salary, somebody's got some explaining to do.
And you're leaving us, or you're leaving this position, right?
I'm leaving this position. I'm actually moving into a different unit doing the gang stuff. So some of the similar types of things, and some of the similar types of defendants. So.
Well, thank you for your
work. Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been great. I've really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Okay. Not seeing anyone wishing to testify on this matter, and scanning the crowd one more time. Carla, can you please call the vote on the emergency ordinance that re-ups this program, partnership with the DA's office?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
This is another example of a great partnership led by the mayor, and thank you for your participation also. Aye.
Fish? Saltzman?
Aye. Thank you.
Yep. Adams?
In addition to thanking DA Prince and the outgoing district attorney, who I'm going to miss, I'd also like to thank all the great folks that work in Drug and Vice and also in Central Precinct. That combined with the service coordination team creation effort that was led by Commissioner Leonard. This is the way policing, law enforcement, crime prevention should be, if we could afford it, across the county. So thank you to Clay Neal for his work on this effort, and to Sophia for her work on this effort as well. Aye. Can you please read the title for item number 1508, Emergency Ordinance?
Authorize application to the U.S. Department of Justice, Office of Violence Against Women, for a grant in the amount of $350,000 to fund the proposed Boy Strength Program.
Do we have someone here to testify on the matter? Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
My name is Sarah Johnson, SARAJOHNSON. Good afternoon, everybody.
Afternoon.
I am the director of the Women's Strength Program, operated out of the Portland Police Bureau. And I wanted to give you a little bit of history of why we put in for this grant. So we applied for this proposal in October. And as that said, it was through the Office of Violence Against Women. And the specific grant proposal was engaging men and boys as allies in ending violence against women. So a little bit of brief background of our program. Women's Strength has a 34-year history of teaching holistic self-defense programs and also violence prevention skills to both women and men in our community. And we have what I consider an impressive number of serving over 100,000 people in the Portland area in 34 years. And Girls Strength, I think most of you know about Girls Strength, founded in 2008, has now served over 4,500 girls. The target range in Girls Strength began as ages 10 to 14, and now we've included ages 8 to 17 based on needs in our community. The Girls Strength program expanded to include topics including confidence and self-esteem building, bullying, anti-bullying, healthy relationships, identifying unhealthy relationships. We talk about topics including some of the things that we've already heard, gang involvement, CSEC, and dating and intimate partner violence. So that leads into this grant. The more schools that we're in for Girl Strength, the more times we're asked, what can we do for our boys? And so we're currently in 20 public and private schools in the Portland area, and I would say the majority of those have asked us that question. So I hope soon we can answer in confidence. We have something to offer you. And what this program would look like is a violence prevention program that's complementary to our holistic self-defense program. So the same skills I just told you we teach in Girl Strength, we would teach boys. We would also add on topics such as conflict resolution, dealing with aggression, talking about how people get involved in gangs, and identifying unhealthy relationships in a different way than we would talk to girls. You all know what I'm talking about. And so this specific grant proposal would fund one full-time position, which would be a program manager position for 3 years, and then we also have the required technical assistance through OVW. And that position would develop, implement program policies, curriculum, and start spreading it out.
And then you do the teaching with volunteers, right, with trained
yes,
volunteers.
Yes, thank you. That was one of my notes. I forgot. No, I'm glad you said that. You segued me. I'm going to editorialize just a little bit. I know I don't have much time, but the part, no time.
You don't have much time, sorry.
I know. Well, the only...
Very quickly.
The piece that I become very passionate about is engaging men in our community to teach boys. Right. And so we would engage both community members and police officers and firefighters and whoever wanted to be on board, and we would have male and female co-facilitators teaching the Boy Strength program. So that
be
is...
Be sure and connect up with, I'm sure you might have already, Antoinette Edwards. And
yes.
The 1145 Community of Faith mentoring program?
Absolutely.
Great.
We hope to have connections with a mentorship program through that, so thank you.
So is this a pilot or a demonstration, or is this being done elsewhere through the Violence Against Women Act?
No, it is not. As far as we know, and we've researched nationwide, this is a pilot. And I think you all know this too, but we're taxpayer-supported programs, so this is, you know, for free for anyone who would want this program. Yeah.
So tell folks where they can go to register for Women's Strength or Girl Strength.
Oh, sure. If you go to the Portland Online website, most people should know that, portlandonline.com, you can just search Women's Strength or Girl Strength and sign up for a class. So.
And could you please make an appointment to come and talk with me and tell me more about this?
I would be happy
Thank
to.
Much.
Any questions?
Thank you. Does anyone wish to testify on 1508?
No one else signed up.
Carla, can you please call the vote on the emergency ordinance?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz.
Women's Strength and Girls Strength are amazing programs, and I encourage every female in Portland to take a turn to sign up for them. I'm very pleased that we're now going to be offering Boy Strength should we get this grant. Thank you for your work. Aye.
Thank you. Fish?
Thanks very much.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to commend Sarah for doing such a great job with Women's Strength and Girls Strength, and I'm sure you'll bring that same passion and excellence to getting the Boy Strength program up and running. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. Aye.
Adams.
Good work. Good luck.
Thank you.
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance to be amended today, 1509?
Implement a street closure pilot program in the Old Town Entertainment District through parts of Northwest 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Avenues between West Burnside and Northwest Everett on certain days and during certain hours.
Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor, for working with me over the past week to provide amendments to this ordinance, which were distributed to the Chiefs of Staff last night and on paper this lunchtime, showing both the amendments and the clean versions. And I greatly appreciate the Police Bureau working with me and my staff on these. It's essentially tightening up and specifying that there will be one pilot project from December 28th through April 1st, which is the day after the end of school spring break, and to specify the reasonable accommodation for emergency access for and access for disabled residents. Also to specify that there will be a public hearing to review this program and that the intent of the Office of Neighborhood Involvement is to work with all of our Bureau partners and the neighbors citywide to look at this as perhaps a pilot street closure program that might promote safety citywide. So the amendments, the most amendments are to the exhibit, which are the specifics of how it will be managed and what kinds of data will be required and reported back to council. I do have one further amendment, which was in the third bullet of the program one trial period from December 28th through April 1 on the first page. We added that we would document all pedestrian-related conflicts with automobiles, and I'd like to add and bicycles to that.
I would accept that as a friendly amendment to the amendment.
Thank you.
So would you like to move?
So I move the amended ordinance and the, can I do the amended ordinance and the exhibit at the same time? Move the amended ordinance and amended exhibit.
Okay. Been, and I'm supportive. It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the vote on the motion to amend?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. All right, is there anyone that wishes to testify on the amended ordinance? Sir, come on up. Commander, you, if you don't mind just staying there. You're supportive of the amendments?
Yes.
Great.
Thank you.
Hi, would you like to state your name and please begin? I've just pushed that button on that one. Yeah. It's...
How's that?
Oh, perfect.
Okay. Right. I'm Stephen Entwistle, and I live in downtown Portland. We've been having a problem with noise.
Go ahead and have a seat. Yeah.
Thank you very much. I really wish I didn't have to be here. Anyway, this is a funeral notice for my friend Donald Eastep. I have one over there that I'd like to pass around. These are the original funeral notices that were put up. And I put them on my closet door on the inside. I put one on the wall. Every day I look at these, every day. I promised I would get justice for my friend Don. Don is a Vietnam veteran. Don complained a lot about the noise. Don wasn't heard. Don is dead. Don was my friend. Don lived down the hall from me. Don was a hard guy to get to know, but once you got to know him, and once you earned his trust, he would lay his life down for you.
And while you're turning the page, and remind me again the cross streets you live at?
Excuse me, I'm speaking. I only have a few minutes, or
right,
a couple minutes.
Just remind us where you live again.
I live at the Fairfield Apartments. 1117 Southwest Stark Street. I'm in room 303.
Thanks.
Okay. This is actually a national trend. This is not local. Okay. Let's say you're out drinking and making too much noise. You know, kind of teasing the neighborhood because, you know, the public housing units, they complain a lot. They're sensitive to the noise. Then you see, uniformed officers. How afraid are you of these officers if they were your own drinking buddies and or business partners? I don't think you'd be very afraid of that, okay? I think they'd be more afraid of parking patrol. I've seen people run from parking patrol. You create a firewall for the complaints to the city. You cut 10 noise controllers down to one. You tell the night managers at the subsidized housing units to tell their tenants that phone calls to the police don't work and will do no good. You have insiders watching to warn the clubs about the police about to arrive. So everyone's gone and you look the fool. Or officers just roll by and wave their hands at the bullies. You hear the laughter in the background, knowing our disturbance. Rajat's 21st century thesaurus defines bullying as annoyer, antagonizer, browbeater, coercer, intimidator, oppressor, persecutor, pest, rascal, rowdy, ruffian, tormentor, menacer, ride roughshod, terrorize, threaten, torture, tyrannize, walk heavy, lean on, despotize, domineer, harass, and overbear. You see us as gutter pups. You see us as gutter snipes. You are sociopaths trying your best to keep us in a constant state of dement. And then you plan on bullying tactics as payback for the complaint calls. Would you like to see videos of these bullying and menacing tactics? Like last night, for example. Bullying needs to be taken seriously. And these laws desperately need to be enforced here. And alcohol establishments need to pay the bill instead of our local government for sustaining enforcement. Noise is violence. Noise is death to a weary soul absolutely desperate for sleep, like right after the Pride Parade. Noise causes PTSD over time. Noise is what suddenly wakes you up out of a sleep, out of a deep sleep. Noise is a killer, Mr. Mayor, or should I call you Bully Boss and your bully boys make the road warriors look like Christmas angels. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Hi, welcome back.
Thank you. Mayor Adams, council members, thank you for the opportunity to let me testify today on this Old Town Entertainment District proposal. My name is Gary Cobb, and I am the Community Outreach Coordinator at Central City Concern. Central City Concern neither opposes or supports this proposal at this time. However, I want to discuss some of the real issues that residents that we've engaged over the last couple months in some community meetings have around the entertainment district. And so the one building that we've had community meetings at, the State Hotel down on Cooch between 2nd and 3rd, there's 190 residents that call this their home. And some of the highlights around these meetings is broken down in really two major bullet points. First one is noise. And so what we're hearing is that that possibly the closure of these streets, will that allow people to kind of congregate in the streets longer than necessary, just kind of outside partying? And, you know, will there be an end to that? Well, can the we have everything cut off at 2 o'clock and folks kind of going about their way? And again, the music is the hardest thing for our residents to deal with. It seems like some of the venues have outside speakers and, you know, I've tried to play shows at the Backspace further up in the district, and they've told me that, you know, they can't play after certain periods of time. So I don't know where the noise ordinance kind of deals with. Another problem is the street bucket drummers. I'm a drummer. I play on the street. I know about the musicians' agreement, so I don't know if that could be looked into as well. And then also we're hearing that security guards are closing down the some of the establishments are using bullhorns out in the middle of the street to move people along, and that's really loud for these residents. Another one is access. We have at least three mobility-impaired tenants in this building, and how would they be able to park near their home, or how would they be able to get a ride through TriMet or have a friend pick them up? And then we also have staff who are already impacted by the lack of parking on the weekends, and they're concerned the closure will eliminate spaces and make things worse for them. So kind of sum that up, I'm just kind of throwing out possibly some solutions, forming some good neighbor agreements with the club owners and to address the noise issues, and then possibly identifying parking or drop-off spaces and around the area for folks that have mobility devices and need to get in and out. So thank you. And today I brought one of our tenants, and he just wants to, he's would like to share a few comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for taking time to testify. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is Easton Burkholz. I need to spell that. Okay. So yes, I'm one of the tenants at the estate building, and I just wanted to go ahead and voice my concern. Because the noise levels are so high during the weekends, it's hard for people to sleep and get a good night's rest so they can go to work in the morning. And then there's a lot of other people too with, with other issues, and it's very hard for them to have a serene, kind of calm place to live. I think that some of these issues can be addressed, hopefully. And I've been living there for 5 months. I just got a job at Clean and Safe today, as a matter of fact, and I look forward to working with the city, and yeah, I just hope that I can be able to get a good night's sleep, too, so when I do go to work. And I do believe that it's also kind of really loud on the weekdays as well. They have speakers on the outside of some of these clubs that I think that they can probably turn off, and they can just keep the noise inside the bar. That would be great.
If I could ask a question, did when you looked at places to rent or to live, were you made aware that the units you were looking at, the 180, were inside the entertainment district?
Did not know that. I'm also very grateful for where I live, and because it's a clean and sober living, and I'm also very grateful for that. I'm just concerned for the people that are going to, once I leave, they're going to, I don't know, I'm just, sorry.
No, your point's well made and very well said, so thank you.
And Mayor, if I could get to that point, the reality is while in the housing work we do, we are committed to choice and making sure people can exercise meaningful choice. It is also an area district where we have both project-based Section 8 housing, and we have dedicated beds through nonprofit partners. So if you're going through a treatment program through Central City Concern, there are dedicated beds that you might be steered to, and you're not going to have the option of Gateway or something else. So
okay.
It is a little bit of a captive audience, and that adds to the burden.
That should be part of the follow-on and debrief discussion. Now, to your point, just so that our legislative, hopefully, at least my legislative intent is, it starts at 10 o'clock so that the police can get better control of all the issues, including noise.
Okay.
So we're so used to having events that usually go up till 9 or 10 o'clock.
Right.
It's hard for us all to make that sort of shift in our thinking. And our hope is with the obstacles cleared out, cars and such, and everything else, that we, with the resources we already have down there, that we can do a better job, and that community policing, you know, maybe involving folks in helping us be spotters, can make that happen. So that is the legislative intent, is for this to make things better. I don't know that we're claiming that it'll be perfect, and we're new at this, so that's why it's a pilot.
I know, and Central City Concern wants to be able to partner with the, you know, police bureau and with the city council, and you know, being, you know, we feel that it's this will, you know, help create a safer environment. And, you know, some of these concerns I outlined are kind of the real-time thing. So maybe as time goes forward, this will all smooth out. But
maybe brainstorm on if there are specific tenants during the pilot that we know require special mobility.
Okay.
Maybe we can be clear about who they are. We can work with that.
Mr. Mayor, we just had in a meeting this week with PBOT, in fact, identified what we believe are some of those tenants, and we're going to reach out to them personally and make sure they have contact numbers for the details
Great.
That are down there, so that if there is a mobility issue or something to that effect, they can actually have direct contact with us to help facilitate that. And I'll give you my card here so that
we can
be in touch following.
Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
I just want to add on to that. I noticed that we didn't put a contact number in the exhibit, even though one is called for. Do you have a number right now, or can we add that later as a Scrivener's error?
Could add that later.
We add that later. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it'll be on the leaflet that is going out and being leafleted.
Right.
All right, so we're trying to keep the folks that know that number to the area so they're not calling from other parts of downtown.
Right.
Did you have more, Kai?
So the closures will start at 10 till what time?
3.
Okay, thank you.
Starting December 28th?
A week from Friday, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
I'll be there.
And in response...
We can walk around
okay.
there.
In response to your concerns, my chief of staff, Tom Bazzo, and I were working on this late into the night, and I noticed that we inadvertently deleted from number 9 of the ordinance any necessary access for disabled residents. So I've moved to amend to add that back in.
I'll take that as a friendly... Can I take that as a friendly amendment? Yes.
I will...
We will have it show up in the written document. It's a friendly amendment.
The intent
awesome.
Of this
you.
All is, this is a pilot program. We're going to work ongoing, not just waiting till the end of the pilot. And I know that the police and the Neighborhood Association and others are very much committed to seeing if this works. And if it doesn't, then there's a clear end point. And if it does, then there's a clear path to figuring out would this work citywide and what are the pros and cons. So thank you very much for participating. Thank you for coming down to share your lived experience. Thanks. That's very helpful.
If I could just add one comment about Gary, because this is the last time he will appear before this council. I want to especially thank you, Gary, for the last 4 years of bringing low-income residents of our community to our budget forums. And one of the things about our budget forums is we often don't get a very accurate snapshot of the city as a whole just because of the circumstances of where we have our meetings and the demands on working families. And so we get a self-selected group that's usually somewhat out of sync with the overall demographics of the city. And by faithfully bringing people that usually don't get a chance to participate to those forums, you've ensured that their voices are heard in our budget forums. And I want to thank you for all the work you've done.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So, Carla, can you please call the vote?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you very much for everybody for engaging in this pilot, and Mayor Adams for your willingness to amend the ordinance and exhibit. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I appreciate the Police Bureau's advocacy of this approach. I think from everything I know of the tremendous crowds that come down to the Old Town Nightlife District, which I've seen on various ride-alongs, it's just amazing. And we need something like this to provide safety, both the pedestrians, motorists, bicyclists, pedicabs, and hopefully we can figure out a way to reduce noise impacts on those who live in that area, too. So good work. Aye.
Adams.
Thanks to the Police Bureau and the Transportation Bureau for your work on this, and look forward to seeing what comes of the pilot. Aye.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, sir.
Just quickly, I'll be there on the 28th with you, by the way.
Okay.
And I also want to thank you and Commissioner Leonard. You know, what seems to be the standard here the last few weeks as a Central Precinct Commander, all of Council, I appreciate the education of the last year, and I look forward to 2013 and continuing to work with the existing Council. But Mr. Mayor and Commissioner Leonard, you've been a great resource to me and educated me and in my role down here, and I appreciate that support. So best of luck.
Thank you, Commander.
Thank you. You're doing a great job. Keep it up. Can you please read the title for a resolution, item number 1510, and folks, please come forward.
Support the Oregon Passenger Rail Project, including improvements to intercity passenger rail service in the Pacific Northwest Corridor.
So who's here to present from PBOT? Do they think it's a different day? All right, we'll set it aside for now. And Chad or somebody, Clay, could you do me a favor and get transportation folks over here? Thanks. All right, we have a series of second readings and votes, so we'll start with 1511. Can you please read the title and call the vote?
Yeah, we're setting that over.
1511, authorized intergovernmental agreement with Portland Public School District for $5 million to review, prioritize, and implement transportation safety improvements concerning district schools.
Mayor Adams, I've in discussions with your staff and Portland Public Schools, we all agreed that this has some more work to be done, so that we would, the staff and I would appreciate the opportunity
to
continue.
Oh, the land use issues?
Yes.
Okay. Pull back to the mayor's office, unless there's objection. All right. Can you please read the title and call the vote to 1512?
Accept a grant in the amount of $1,879,464 from the Portland Development Commission, authorize an intergovernmental agreement and a competitive bidding process for construction of the West Burnside and Pearl District Circulation Improvements Project.
Vote.
Fritz.
So my understanding was we amended this to say if we get the grant.
Once the PDC makes their decision, correct.
Right. So with that understanding, I vote aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. So approved. Can you please read? Oh, 1513, we've continued till January. Can you please read the title and call the vote for 1514?
Replace code for towing and pay and park facilities and private property inbound towing, and add Chapter 7.25, pay and park, and non-pay private parking facilities. Fritz?
These are good changes which improve consumer protection for aggressive towing, and I'm happy that we're making them. Aye. Thank you for your work.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. So approved. Can you please read the title and call the vote for item 1550?
Adopt findings, authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding process to procurement services pursuant to ORS 279C and PCC 5.34, authorize contracts and provide payment for construction of the Washington Park Reservoirs Improvements Project. Leonard?
So before I vote, I wanted to clarify something as I've had conversations with some in the last few days. These are non-emergency ordinances. They do not take effect for 30 days. If for whatever reason the next council, or majority of the next council, decided they wanted to revisit these, they have the opportunity to do that within that 30-day time period before these become effective. So what our action does today, however, is keep us on the timeline that we committed to, and I would hope the next council would stick with that, but I just wanted to make clear that after January 1st, these can be revisited without any expenditures being made. Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard. I appreciate that gracious introduction and also your desire to finish up the work that you have been engaged in with the Water Bureau for many years. I don't find it compelling to move earlier with these contracts, so respectfully, I vote no.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I'm not going to – I mean, I'm sorry. I will support the notion that we can – whatever we do at Washington Park requires a highly specialized construction manager, general contractor approach, so I will support this exemption from competitive bidding, but I'm not prepared to support the subsequent ordinances to award the contracts to specific firms at this point. So I'll vote aye on this.
Adams.
Aye. Can you please read items 1516 and 1517? Staff, please come forward.
1516, authorize revenue bonds for the lighting efficiency program. 1517, invest savings from LED streetlight conversion in system replacement and renewable energy.
So I've asked, I'm going to ask council to put emergencies on this. We've spent the intervening 3 weeks sitting. I had the budget office do a review of our options, and they have proposed moving forward with what has the substance of what is still contained in 1516, 1517. I want to thank Portland General Electric for making sure that these decisions were made with the toughest questions that could possibly be asked and with an expectation and a rightful expectation that we be as clear as we possibly could be in not only what our actions are today, but how they will we hope that they will play out over the next couple of decades.
Mayor, I would ask you not to place an emergency on.
Okay. Oh, there's second reading, right? So I don't need emergencies. Right, we vote today anyway. Oh. Thanks.
Yeah,
I forgot about that. So who would like to talk about the due diligence that we've gone through?
I'd be happy to address that, Mayor, Commissioners. We have had a opportunity to review all of the various questions that you had from our first reading. Commissioner Fritz asked specifically about the pole purchases that we'll be making as a part of this transaction. We've done a thorough review of the lifespan of the poles, looking at the various conditions, doing due diligence to make sure that the poles are in a safe operation today, and will provide us with an asset that we can continue to maintain as a part of this project. We were also asked about the graffiti abatement program, which we have set up for traffic signal controller and other accoutrements of the infrastructure that PBOT maintains currently, and this will extend that as a part of this project that we pay and have a contract in place to take care of the graffiti that comes about from whatever happens on the asset. Looking at the asset as we've done this due diligence, most of the poles that will be purchased are not in high traffic pedestrian areas or really high traffic areas, or mostly on residential streets, which don't see a lot of graffiti. But we are prepared to address those as they come up.
Do you anticipate more staff? Because currently we're not getting particularly rapid graffiti clean off of transportation facilities.
That is under contract currently. The contract is being revisited as a part of the ongoing review that we have. It is a concern of mine as well, and we have talked to the contractor about how they will need to improve as we move forward if we're going to continue that contract with them.
Additional questions? There is a memo that went out to all of council from the budget office that reviewed the options. All right, anyone wish to testify on these matters, 1516, 1517? All right, Carla, can you please call the vote on non-emergency second reading, 1516?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Thank you for your due diligence, and I'd like to talk with you some more about the graffiti abatement program. I'm assuming that the Revenue Bureau looked at the potential benefits of PGE buying our poles in the equation of cost benefit. I appreciate the mayor's looking into this diligently, and I'm guided by your approval. Aye.
Fish.
Yeah, I too want to say I appreciate the fact that the mayor and mayor's office and you folks took the opportunity to sit down with PGE and look at their proposal, cost it out, compare it with our approach, do some additional due diligence, and based on what I've seen, I'm satisfied that this is the correct approach. But I think it was important to go through that exercise because we may have come out with a different outcome. Aye.
Saltzman?
Yeah, I too appreciate the taking the time to do it right, to listen to PGE's proposal, and I appreciate PGE putting forward their proposal in a very crisp form. Took some analysis, but I do believe, and what's a close call for me, but I'm going to support the efforts here of transportation to do this work, and as cheered on by our debt manager too, that counts for something in my decision on this as well. Aye.
Adams.
Again, I want to thank put a fine point. Thank Dean Funk for. And his team and the Chief Financial Officer, PG, for engaging with us on the due diligence. Please vote aye. Can you please read the title and call the votes for 1517?
Invest savings from LED streetlight conversion in system replacement and renewable energy.
So this is just making clear that as we, a piece of the efficiency that is realized on the more efficient lights, sorry to interrupt you, Carla, we're not only doing LED on the streetlights, but we're buying green power. And the amendment that Commissioner Saltzman, that we first looked to buy locally produced green power is part of this. So please call the vote.
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Thank you very much. Can you please, I think the staff is here for 1510, is that right?
Yes.
All right. Can you read the title again for 1510?
Mm-hmm. Support the Oregon Passenger Rail Project, including improvements in inner city passenger rail service in the Pacific Northwest Corridor.
So this is, please come forward. We're, council has been waiting. This is a similar proposed reference document as the City Council considered with the East Bank Freeway. This one is, more alive than the East Bank Freeway in the sense that there is a state process actively underway to determine where high-speed or higher-speed rail routes might go. Just since I've been Transportation Commissioner, the other piece of this is we've had encroachments onto the existing available right-of-way alongside rail tracks. And so, again, this is direction to permit the Development Services and to neighborhood plans and all the other plans we do, that as you consider those permits and as you consider plans to develop around existing rail lines, that there be a discussion about, does a particular proposal limit the ability for higher or high-speed rail? And it just requires the conversation. Very pleased to welcome back. Now in the private sector, making a lot more money than she made.
It looks familiar, Mayor.
That's what they say. I've yet to see it, but thank you very much, Council, for letting us come and speak to you about this today. I'm Catherine Ciarlo. I'm working with CH2M Hill now as a project manager. With me is Scott Richman from David Evans & Associates. Scott is the other point person, or the point person from DEA on the Oregon Passenger Rail Project. And that is, as the mayor mentioned, the state project that's currently looking at high-speed or higher-speed rail alignments and trying to begin the process of narrowing those down between Eugene and the Columbia River. So that effort has been underway for about a year. The city of Portland has been represented at that table, and most recently, which Scott will discuss, some scoping work has brought back some potential alignments. These are still very conceptual for the Portland area. And those are what we bring to you today. Just by way of context, I guess the city of Portland has been seen as a national leader in rail transit on just about every front, potentially except for the higher speed passenger rail. And so we're pleased to bring this forward and have you all consider it. The concept behind the higher speed passenger rail is really bringing cities closer together, Eugene, Portland, Seattle, the cities in between. What you'll have introduced to you here, as the mayor said, is lines on a map as a reference point right now. There's still work to be done within the state process to winnow these down and complete a formal EIS. But what your resolution today does is adopt those as something for the city of Portland, for BPS, for PBOT, and for future councils to consider as they decide on developments and actions and investments. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Scott.
Great. Thank you, Catherine, and Mayor Adams and commissioners. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. Hopefully you can hear me okay without the microphone. I'm just going to quickly...
why don't you hold the mic? That one's a mobile one, because otherwise it doesn't get on the table.
Okay. Do I need to hit that? Or
it's good.
It's on. Hold it. Okay. Does that help? I'm going to quickly brief you on the overall project purpose. I'm not going to read through everything, but basically, this is the purpose statement that that both Oregon Department of Transportation and Federal Railroad Administration, who's the lead federal agency, have approved for us going forward. This may change slightly, get refined slightly as we go into the EIS later next year. But for now, through the public scoping process, the project purpose is to improve the frequency, convenience, speed, and reliability of passenger rail service along the Oregon segment of the federally designated Pacific Northwest Corridor. So that's the longer corridor from Eugene Springfield to Vancouver, BC. And then we also have needs, the problems we're planning to resolve with this project, multiple issues, increasing intercity and regional travel demands, limited rail system, freight rail system capacity, and competing service needs along that line, declining state and local roadway funding, as we're all aware, increased economic vitality of the corridor, and promoting transportation system safety and security, and finally, changing demographic demands related to transportation, both with aging population and many people choosing different modes than driving. As Catherine mentioned, we have a number of concepts that have been developed through the scoping process. So this is these are really what we're calling concept corridor alignments through Portland. We've got the existing alignment, which is primarily Union Pacific, as you know, follows the west side of the east side of the river, crosses over the Steel Bridge, proceeds along the west side of the river, and then proceeds into Vancouver. We have another alignment that is looking at following the I-5 corridor, which would be brand new track alignment, and then going up into either Union Station or perhaps across the river to a new station in the Rose Quarter. Another option along the east bank of the river, following which now the Union Pacific alignment. We also have an option that is along Interstate 205 that would swing out and serve the gateway area or the airport, and then come back into the north part of Portland along the Union Pacific Kenton line. So again, these are concepts that have come out of scoping. In very short order here, we're going to be subjecting these to screening based on the project purpose and need, and then we will come out with what we anticipate will be a more refined set of preliminary alternatives. The schedule for this we're on is relatively aggressive, and we are again going through the screening here at the end of this year, just in the next week or so. We're going to, in January, go back out to the public and to agencies to share the screening results. We're going to be also sharing and seeking input on the draft project goals and objectives, which will be used as a basis for doing evaluation going forward. We'll be doing the evaluation into the spring of next year and then initiating the draft environmental impact statement, doing that work through next year and into 2014, and selecting a preferred alternative we anticipate in the later part of year 2014, and then getting through the record of decision on the Tier 1 process.
Could you tell me again where and how can the public be involved in this process?
Yeah, good question. So there are multiple ways. In addition to public open houses, for example, that we're having next month, we've got ODOT has a project website set up for this, OregonPassengerRail.org. And that's set up as an interactive site where people can provide comments and request to be added to the project mailing list. We're going to be having a newsletter announcing the January open houses coming out soon. And then there's also direct contacts either through ODOT or through JLA Public Involvement, who's leading the public outreach efforts.
So the public open houses, that's on OregonPassengerRail.org as well?
That's on the website right now, and there will be six of those in January, including one in Portland.
And to clarify, we've been advocating for the endpoint of the Eugene to Portland to be defined as the river, not the middle of this, not the downtown of the city. I wanted to clarify that our staff, Paul Smith is here and others, have been successful in getting that scope of endpoint recognized.
That's correct, yes.
It's the Vancouver Washington station.
Yes.
Carries its own.
It's not going to end in the middle of the Columbia River.
Okay, good.
Or
Mayor, I have a couple questions.
Yeah.
To either Catherine, welcome back. I don't think we ever gave you a proper farewell. So this is welcome back and farewell.
All the better to be back.
All the way up. We'll do a twofer today. Two questions. Maybe this is for Paul more than anyone else. But I'm looking at the lines and the different alternatives that you've pegged, and I'm thinking they may or may not overlap with some additional planning we're doing right now around things like Sullivan's Gulch Trail, mm-hmm. North Portland Greenway, number of other projects. And the answer may be they don't. But if they might, what's the impact of this process on what we're doing on the ground with those kinds of projects?
Well, I think the major thing is, since Sam has been our commissioner, we've developed a very good relationship with the Union Pacific Railroad. So, for example, the Union Pacific Railroad made a presentation to ODOT, and there was a lot of discussion about the work in Portland. So, right now, the Union Pacific is looking at building an improved connection from the main line in the central east side to the Graham line that runs down the Banfield. That's a $30 million project, so they're working with our permitting people on that. We did work with them on the Sullivan's Gulch Trail concept plan, as you mentioned. And I think what the mayor said to us the other day is just simply these lines that have been shown today that have come out of the public scoping process, that just means that someone has suggested them. They have not been thoroughly analyzed. But the concept is these rail corridors represent a certain width, you know, whether it's 100 feet wide or whatever, and we need to be very careful about
kind of protecting that space and working with the railroads who own them, because they are very unique. And
So I guess as a follow-up, Paul, what would be helpful to know following this hearing is